Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday. Thanks for being here. So much to discuss from the weekend. We're going to talk about almost all of it, and a lot of the topics are staying the same. We're going to start with COVID-19. Arizona numbers are kind of staggering to me when it comes to per capita numbers. Arizona deaths matching New York in per capita deaths. A lot of reasons go into that, but we're going to talk about COVID-19 because of what happened this weekend. The CDC director, Walensky, talking with Chris Wallace this weekend, and he asked her a great question about sports stadiums. I want you to hear what the CDC director had to say about sports stadiums and COVID.
What does it tell you that there have not been spikes in most of these communities when you have people crowded into football or baseball stadiums?
We would still encourage people who are unvaccinated to wear a mask in those situations, but given that these games are outdoors, that tends to be a much safer environment.
Finally, the holidays. First of all, Halloween. What would you say that kids can do and can't do?
I would say put on those costumes, stay outside, and enjoy your trick-or-treating.
Whether people are vaccinated or not, as long as you're outside, you're safe?
Yeah, I wouldn't gather in large settings outside and do screaming like you're seeing in those football games if you're unvaccinated, those kids that are unvaccinated. But if you're spread out doing your trick-or-treating, that should be very safe for your children.
So somehow at a football stadium, Cardinals Stadium, very full yesterday. By the way, congratulations to the Cardinals, 7-0 is their record. First time they've done that in the history of their team, I believe. And it's great to see them. Big win yesterday over a team they were expected to win, to beat. But they also have a game on Thursday night against the Green Bay Packers. And so this was maybe a trap game where you were looking past them to your Thursday night matchup against one of the best teams in the NFL in the Green Bay Packers. But congratulations to the Cardinals. Packed stadiums, and we're not seeing big spikes in cases. So what's the reasoning? Well, it's outdoors. Well, the Cardinals aren't outdoors. Cardinals are indoors. And Halloween's okay, safe for little kids, as long as they stay 6 feet apart. But when you go to a football game, you can high-five each other and stand shoulder to shoulder. One of the interesting stories I saw this weekend is about the CDC director. Said there is a plan to get unvaccinated workers education and counseling. I will tell you in a moment who was afraid when they read that headline and why it was brought to my attention. But the quote is, there is a plan to get unvaccinated essential workers education and counseling. As you know, there are cases where police officers and health workers or pilots are walking off the job rather than get vaccinated. This is from Wallace asking the question. Chris Wallace, are you still full speed ahead on mandates and essential workers getting vaccinated? And the response is, we have seen that these mandates are getting more and more people vaccinated. Here's what we know. The most disruptive thing that you can do to a workforce is to have a COVID outbreak in the workforce. So they're talking about getting them. She added, there is a plan. Should these people not want to be vaccinated, towards education and counseling to get people the information they need so they are feeling comfortable about in getting vaccinated? There is a group in communist countries, I learned about this from my Cuban friends, called the Brown Shirts. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. If you're new to the show, I appreciate you checking us out. But most people that listen know I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I don't try to embellish things. But it was my Cuban friends that brought this to my attention, because in Cuba, this is what happens. When you speak out against the government, you get ratted out by family members and friends, and they will literally show up and they will take you away to re-educate you. And I'm doing air quotes, the re-education. This all started, these stories were told to me during the time during the Obama administration when they were promoting Obamacare before it was passed. And the Obama administration was telling people, hey, listen, if you know people that are spreading misinformation about what we're doing with Obamacare, get us their email address or get us their information. We're going to get them information. We're going to educate them on what's true. And I know it doesn't seem very ominous to some, and maybe this isn't that ominous. But when you have a government agency saying, if you know someone that disagrees with us, or if there's someone out there that disagrees with our mandate and what we're telling people they have to do, these are essential workers. Many of them are government employees. We are going to re-educate them. We are going to get them the information so they have it. We are shutting down disinformation. The interesting thing of how social media now has fact checkers, that what is truth to you is not truth to someone else. And they say it's misinformation and it's dangerous, so they shut it down or they put warnings on it. This to me is terrifying. And it's terrifying because it's all done the way all of these things are done, in the interest of the common good. Communism wasn't sold to the Cuban people as a bad thing. Fidel Castro did not say, I'm going to oppress you and you're going to listen to me and I'm going to ration your food and I'm going to ration your water and your power and we're going to ration things for everybody. That's not what they said. They said, we're all going to work together. We're all going to work hard. Everybody's going to get a fair day's wage. No one's going to be able to get wealthy on the backs of other people. It's all for one and one for all. And that's what we were told. And I say we, the Cuban people were told. I'm not Cuban. The Cuban people were told. And they believed it. And communism, he was carried into that country on the shoulders of the Cuban people. What we saw in the years that followed was every Cuban that I knew that was given an opportunity to leave that island left. They got out of there as fast as they could to come to a capitalist country where they had the freedom to choose the direction they wanted. That didn't mean they were always going to be successful. And it didn't mean that there weren't stories that ended in tragedy. But what it meant was you had freedom of choice. There was opportunity, not guaranteed outcome, guaranteed opportunity. The other part of it is shutting things down. Last week, you know, the NBA has a huge contract with the Chinese. Huge contract with the Chinese. And there was a basketball player that wore a pro-Tibet sneakers on the floor. China blacked out the game. Blacked out the game. And that's what they do there. Here we've got that song by this rapper, this kid Bryson, who is now it's been taken off of YouTube. And so we are seeing that kind of thing happen, all in the interest of the greater good. It's never sold to you as censorship. It's never sold to you as a negative thing. No, the government just wants, listen, we all know that the vaccine is a good thing, that the vaccine is beneficial, and it's the fastest way to slow the spread, and we have to do this for people. So if there are people out there that are anti-vax in the workforce, we're going to find them. If they still resist our encouragement, we're going to bring them in and we're going to give them education and information, because at this point, we all know there are still people out there that A, don't know what COVID is, B, don't know how COVID spread, and C, don't know the results of getting COVID and how bad it can be. So we have to educate these people because other people are spreading disinformation. It may not seem very scary now, but again, it's that, like, you know, boiling a frog. You turn the heat up slowly. And I don't even know that their intention is the same thing. In their own minds, they may not be thinking the same thing. But this is how it's sold every single time. Censorship is a good thing. We start by calling, if you remember, we started by calling this hate speech. And hate speech was something that was a label. And if you said something that they labeled hate speech, they could hate you. It was okay to, we weren't allowed to disparage, joke about, criticize anything to do with Islam and radical Islam. And remember what happened at Charlie Hebdo with the Muhammad cartoon and the murders that happened. But you could completely demolish Christianity. That was acceptable. So they chose what was hateful speech and what wasn't. And it was a label. There was no consequences, but it was a label. Now the cancel culture has gotten so strong that people lose their jobs, people lose their livelihoods, and possibility of earning money in the future because of what they say. We have YouTube censoring a stupid song. This song, which we're going to talk in detail about a little bit later this morning, there is a rap song out called Let's Go Brandon. And it is number one, I believe, on iTunes right now. Number one on iTunes. And YouTube blocked it from its service. You can see beheading videos. You can see murder videos. There was, it's funny, there was another hit. And I mean, ironic, not funny. There was a hip hop star, and I can't remember his name, that was doing a live video with a friend. He was video, I don't know if he was on Zoom or whatever he was on, Instagram video with someone. And he was sitting in his car, and someone walked up to the car and murdered him. They shot him 5 or 6 times. And you can still find that raw video of this kid's murder on YouTube. You can go find it right now. I can't remember his name, but you can find the murder on YouTube. But you can't hear Let's Go Brandon. You can go find the most hateful things said about Donald Trump as president, as a candidate, as a former president. You can find them on YouTube. You can't find Let's Go Brandon. this was never sold to anybody as a bad thing. Censorship and quieting and quelling dissenting opinions has always been sold as being better for the greater good. They just want you to have the truth. You understand, misinformation about COVID is killing people. If someone out there says hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin work as a treatment, well, that's horse dewormer and it doesn't work and people are dying because of it. So we're going to sanitize this and we're going to... And in the end, what ends up happening is voices like mine get silenced, voices like yours get silenced if you disagree with the wrong people or you disagree in a way that they don't like. The cancel culture will get you fired, and they're starting to shut people off in their voices. So they don't like people, medical, you know, first responders and pilots and educated people. We're not talking the conspiracy theorists. We're not talking the stereotype. These are educated people that have essential roles in our economy or essential roles in the safety of our streets or the health care of our people that are saying, I don't want to get an injection. And they're being fired. And now we're hearing from government officials that we have a plan to pull them in and re-educate them. I think it's dangerous. I think this is that slippery slope. Everybody talks about the slippery slope, and I think we're on it. I think this is the way this goes. Coming up in a moment, everything is more expensive. We're going to talk about what the winter holds for people and what's happening. It is so ugly for so many people. What's happening? Why it's happening? Is there an end in sight? That's all right around the corner.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for joining me. Happy Monday from the Mike Broomhead Show. Everything more expensive. There's so much to talk about. This was sent to me over the weekend. I talk about restaurants very often. The service industry has been decimated by a bunch of different things. Number one, price increases. Number two, the shortages over the past 18 months, shutting them down, takeout only, then opening up with distancing where they had to take 50% of their bar business out. I don't claim to be an expert in the restaurant industry, but I worked in it when I was younger. I have friends that are restaurant owners, and there's things you just know from working in the industry. A large amount of profit is made in a restaurant from their bar business. There is a higher markup on a drink than there is on a meal in many cases. So even though the prices are generally smaller, not in every restaurant, you go to some of the higher end restaurants and you're going to pay $15 or $18 for a drink, but you know that that drink doesn't cost anywhere near that to make. When you take a bar business and you separate people by 6 feet at a bar, and you don't have the walk-up business to the bar that you had before, you are going to cut into profits severely. Now you factor in food costs. This was sent to me by someone. I thought it was brilliant. Fryer oil 12 months ago was $21. 6 months ago it was $35. Today it's $45. Chicken wings, $45 a case a year ago, $175 a case now. Takeout boxes, $25 12 months ago, $95 now. They say this is the same for all of our cleaning paper and food we use. If a local restaurant adds a few dollars to your meal, it's not to get rich, it's to continue to stay in business. That's just the tip of the iceberg for so many people. The headline talking about a prepare for propane sticker shock. Propane prices have been so high and headed into the winter in decades, which is bad news for the millions of rural Americans who rely on the fuel to stay warm. So I will make a prediction that isn't much of a guess. It's almost a foregone conclusion. We are going to start seeing the fight on Capitol Hill about heating oil and subsidies for families that can't afford it. I'm not a cruel person. People need to stay warm in the winter. Here, the heat in the summer is a health and safety issue. In other parts of the country, in the Northeast, the Midwest, the winter months are a safety issue, are a health issue. And so just like here in Arizona, we don't shut people's power off. We don't do those things to people in the summertime because they can die from the extreme heat. In the wintertime, people need to be kept warm. But when you start seeing prices rise because of the policies, it's always about policy. And we kept hearing about the demand issue. I love the supply and demand argument and how the OPEC nations won't pump more oil. Well, why are we beholden to the OPEC nations? That's the issue, is the policies of this administration, and it's getting worse. They didn't fight this oil lease in this Willow project in Alaska. They didn't, like they said they were going to do, they did not appeal a decision. So that project is gone. Prices continue to rise, whether it's gasoline or diesel fuel for vehicles, it's heating oil or it's propane. We are seeing prices go up everywhere. And these are not considered unessential. These are essential items that families need. And with the inflation that we're seeing right now, it is biting families hard. We kept hearing about the supply chain shortage, which we all know exists, but the issue might be that what you want to get your children for Christmas may not be on the shelves. It may not be here in time. Well, what about the families that are going to get priced out of the holidays? We have watched our economy make a huge recovery. More people are back to work. There's tons of jobs available. But we are also, and wages have been going up, but we are seeing inflation outpace that as a record. I just had a conversation with someone yesterday about this, on how ungodly this is in a way, and how incredibly similar to the Carter administration this is. We never understand the powers of the policy of the president of the United States until something really, really good happens or really, really bad happens. And what we are seeing now is policy shifts, especially in energy and the tax policy of tax the rich, which we're going to get into later this morning, that we are watching our economy turn upside down. We are watching the very people that this administration claims to want to help being hurt. Again, being single, living alone, I don't have the burden financially of a family. I mean, I love my kids, I love my grandkids, but they don't live with me. They have their own lives to live. I worry about them. So for me, it's not about, you know, it's an inconvenience to me in some ways. I don't like the higher gas prices. I don't want to pay more for food. I don't want to do those things. But it is not going to stifle my life. It is not going to stop me from living my life. It doesn't put me in danger of not being able to pay other bills. And for American families, it's becoming a reality. Two cars in your family, how do you fill both gas tanks to get to work? What are we going to do? We can't go out on the weekends anymore. We can't even go to a movie. We can't do anything anymore because we have to pay for just the bare essentials. And the holidays are right around the corner, and there are going to be some of those families that work hard that will be beholden to subsidies. And that's the other part of this. Then in comes the policies of this administration caused this problem to happen in large part. There is a supply and demand issue, but we could make up that supply issue if we were pumping more oil, if we were doing what we were doing just a few years ago. And it's not just fuel. It's also the cost of getting goods and services, which is why we're seeing such a huge spike in prices. All of these things are part of the policies of this administration. And so after their policies take working class people and put them in the poorhouse, then they're going to come in and they're going to tax the rich people to subsidize the poor people that they put in the poorhouse. It is about policy, and it is about failed policy. And it's something we all should be very, very aware of. Coming up in a moment, of course, Gatos joins me. It's the Big Q poll question of the day. And then just after 9 o'clock, Mesa is going to be adding 200 firefighters and police officers. We're going to talk about those things coming up in just a couple of moments.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
Hey, good morning, Gatos.
7-0, baby.
Yes.
Do you go?
No, I had an event up in Payson yesterday, so I gave my tickets away.
Oh, really? You didn't sell them?
No.
Can't sell tickets to Houston.
No, I won't sell my tickets because I don't know that they're Cardinal fans, so I give them to friends.
Oh, I'm think I'm going to sell my tickets to a Packers fan.
What are you doing?
I'm thinking about, I got like an offer on the table for like $3,000. What am I supposed to do?
Say no, stand strong, you make a nice living.
I'm going to talk about it on the air. I mean, really, you know, I want to go. My wife is like, we're not selling. I'm like, if we get $3,000, we might.
I am so disappointed two home games of the season at how many Viking fans and how many 49er fans. This was a home game against a division rival and a team we hate, and it was 50-50 in that stadium.
Really?
Yes.
With the Niners?
Yes.
I thought there were a lot of Vikings fans.
There was.
Yeah. But I didn't think there were. I didn't know there were a
lot
of
fans. Well, because the colors were so similar.
Yeah.
So at Thursday night, it's a Thursday night football game. It's the only game on TV. And if we see a lot of green and gold in that stadium, I'm going to be embarrassed.
I think it's going to happen.
Well, yeah, if you sell your tickets.
But it's like $3,000 or $4,000. I mean, what am I supposed to do?
Okay, listen.
That's a vacation.
You just came home from Greece. You can afford to keep your tickets.
I know.
I tell you what. If you go to the game Thursday night.
Yes.
I will buy your drinks at the game Thursday night if you don't sell your tickets.
I might drink a lot at that game.
That's all right.
All right. I'm gonna think about it, but I'm gonna talk about this on the air. Cardinals fans could and you know some will sell their tickets to Packers fans. You know what that does? Pays for season tickets the next year.
It does, and that's what a lot of people do is they choose three or four games that they want to see.
I agree.
We're 7-0.
I know it's so wrong. I might do it though.
Oh. By the way, this is painful for me to say. This is going to hurt for me to say.
Oh, no.
I was driving home from Payson last night, and I had the station on, and I heard your interview with Senator Sinema.
Uh-huh.
Solid. You guys did a great job with that interview.
I think she actually gave us a few things. That's the interest. Everybody talks about interviewing a politician. You know, oh, well, you know, they never say anything. Well, that's not my fault.
Right.
I can sit there and ask Governor Ducey the same question three times, and he won't answer it. And what I've already done is I've wasted 7 minutes.
Right.
So you've got to get in and out. You only got 7 or 8 minutes. And, you know, I think that she did give us some stuff.
But I thought it was a great get, first of all. She hasn't done a lot of interviews recently.
Not talking to anybody.
And it was great that you guys got her, and it pains me to compliment you on the air, but it was that good that I figured I better. It was really, really a good interview. I hope people go back and listen to it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. It's on the podcast. You can check it out. I mean, she's just getting hit from all sides, and, you know, she said, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not listening to it. I'm going to do what I want. You know, she's kind of flipped on the tax thing, which, you know, I'm kind of happy about. I don't like this, with the Democrats always saying we got to tax the rich, you know,
right.
Pay your fair share. I think they pay their fair share, but
I got a minute left. I'm done saying nice things to you. What's the question?
All right. Some parents have decided to provide a healthier option for kids when they trick or treat this year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What will you be handing out for Halloween? So there are parents out there that say, you know what? Maybe candy isn't the way to go.
Aye.
Let's give them some. All right. So what will you be handing out? A, candy, chocolate, the good stuff. Mm. All right. B, apples. Chad Benson has already said if anybody gives his 3-year-old daughter an apple, she's allowed to throw it at the house.
Okay.
And C, something vegan. Apparently, I enjoy getting my house TP.
Yeah. I remember when we were kids, every once in a while, somebody would, like, tape pennies together and give you like 5 pennies. Did it ever happen to you?
Yeah.
What a horrible. That's horrible.
Yeah, threw it right through their window. Here's your 5 pennies back.
Kato.
You could have given me a Snickers bar.
All right, man. A great question. A great timing on the question as well.
All right. Big swole.
Thanks, Kato's. The BQ poll question today brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. Mesa hiring firefighters and cops. Are they going to be able to find recruits, and will they take people without masks? We'll talk about it.